You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our weekly podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us. Please be here every week and tell your friends about us. Well, you know, we passed an historic date a few days ago that I think should have received a lot more attention, but it didn't. Now, it's not a great event in our history, but it's nonetheless a teaching moment, and I remember it well. Are you old enough to remember where you were on January 28th, 1986, 38 years ago, when tragically the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster took place? Now, I want to set the scene for you. I remember this day very well because I have a very personal story that's involved in all of this. Ronald Reagan was president of the United States. He won elections in November 1980, and then he was reelected in 1984. I had left a good job in Washington, D.C., as some of you know, to work in his campaign, and that led to a number of appointments in the Reagan administration. So Ronald Reagan is president. He appointed William Bennett to be the Secretary of Education. And he appointed me, Reagan did, to be the Undersecretary of Education, the number two guy in the department. Now, my friends, I have to be honest about this. Bennett and I were actually having a great time. We were fighting an educational bureaucracy that was already losing sight of what their main responsibility should be. And we were really, I mean, it was a dig in every day and do combat. I was being dragged up to Capitol Hill to testify before hostile congressional committees who didn't like the idea that Reagan and Bennett and me were going after the educational establishment on some of the same things we're fighting about today. We were aggressively pushing American educators to do better. We were concerned that teachers were not teaching American history. Bennett went all over the country, by the way, and he started teaching the Federalist Papers written by our founding fathers. He would go into a high school that invited him in, and he would go into a history class, and he would teach about one of the Federalist Papers in a way to sort of raise that issue as something that parents ought to be concerned about. I went after textbook publishers. I gave a speech at the textbook publishing convention accusing them of not doing a good enough job of teaching our children about the dangers of communism in that particular time in our history, Soviet communism, the differences between that and the American system of constitutional liberty, and how important it was that liberty win in the world, not communism. So we were in the middle of this big battle, and the White House and the Department of Education, we were spending a lot of time talking to each other about things that we could do to move this debate forward. And the idea was developed, I don't even remember who came up with it, that we send a teacher into space. The idea being that doing that would inspire both teachers and their students to look at what the future held, to help them understand that science and technology and reading and writing and math, all of these things were important. They were important for the individual students, their teachers, and it was important for the country. And so a national competition was held to pick a single teacher that would have the courage to go into space, to be an astronaut. And after that competition, one teacher, Krista McAuliffe, a teacher from Concord High School in New Hampshire, was selected to go on the Challenger launch. She was a wonderful lady, a dedicated teacher. At the time, I must admit to you, I actually wondered whether it was a total coincidence that the teacher that ended up being selected taught at Concord High School in Concord, New Hampshire. Concord, New Hampshire, of course, being the place where some argue the American Revolution started. It was at Concord Bridge where the shot that was heard around the world, as the historians say, took place that began the American Revolution. You know, I sometimes thought maybe God's hand was in the fact that she was selected because she was being asked to do something that would make history in America today. Well, schools all over the country became galvanized by this, as you can imagine. I mean, here were teachers saying, wow, this fellow teacher is going up on the space shuttle. And of course, all kinds of students were interested. And so schools all over the country brought their students and teachers together, maybe in the auditorium or in gymnasiums, or individual teachers just did it in their classrooms, to watch live on television the launch of the Challenger. Now, at that time, CNN was, I believe, the only 24-hour-a-day news channel. And I know they were the only channel, I believe, covering the launch live. So that morning, I distinctly remember, you know, the original idea was that Bennett and I would be at the launch, but it was postponed a number of times, and we had to keep changing schedules, and eventually it just became impossible to keep moving things around. So we were in our offices in Washington, D.C. that morning. I got up early. I got into my office. I had the biggest TV set we could find in my office, and I sat there with millions of other Americans waiting and watching this launch. Now, I'd like to play for you what CNN said upon the launch of the Challenger. It seems very routine, and then you'll hear how this report ended.
SRB hydraulic power units have started. T-minus 21 seconds, and the solid rocket booster engine gimbal now underway. T-minus 15 seconds. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. We have main engine start. 4, 3, 2, 1. And liftoff. Liftoff of the 25th Space Shuttle mission, and it has cleared the tower.
Roger, roll program. Roger, roll, Challenger. Good roll program confirmed. Challenger now heading downrange. Engines beginning throttling down now at 94%. Normal throttles for most of the flight, 104%. We'll throttle down to 65% shortly. Engines at 65%, three engines running normally, three good fuel cells, three good APUs. Velocity, 2,257 feet per second. Altitude, 4.3 nautical miles. Downrange distance, 3 nautical miles.
So the 25th Space Shuttle mission is now on the way after more delays than NASA cares to count. This morning, it looked as though they were not going to be able to get off.
15 seconds, velocity 2,900 feet per second, altitude 9 nautical miles, downrange distance 7 nautical miles.
Looks like a couple of the solid rocket boosters blew away from the side of the shuttle in an explosion.
Looking very carefully at the situation. Obviously a major malfunction.
You know, those watching on CNN could hear what they were saying, but I remember distinctly looking at the screen, and what was unfolding on the screen was ahead of what the commentators were saying. And so when they were still being sort of routine in their reporting, you could tell something had gone horribly wrong. You just heard the NASA commentator, a major malfunction. Well, yeah, it was a major malfunction, all right. It blew up. You saw it blow up on the screen. And at that second, all seven crew members, including this heroic teacher, Krista McAuliffe, perished in that blast. All of our plans were dashed, along with losing the lives of these brave astronauts. McAuliffe was going to actually teach two lessons from space to America's school children. The first one, I thought this was a great title. The first one was called The Ultimate Field Trip. Well, it certainly was that. She was going to point out to the children the differences between living on Earth for a particular day and being on the Challenger in space for a day. And then the second lesson was going to be, where are we going, where have we been, and why? This was going to be an explanation for older children of the purpose of the space program. There were already a lot of people saying it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth the risks. The naysayers, you know, even before this tragedy, were out in force. And so all of us in the Reagan administration wanted to remind the American people that the country was built on risk-taking, that we wouldn't be where we were at that point in our history if brave men and women hadn't been willing to go into the wilderness and build this great country. Well, as you can imagine, with such a tragic event taking place, the only thing I think that saved us at the time was that Ronald Reagan was president. And Ronald Reagan had a history in his presidency of time and time again coming up with exactly the right words to describe to the American people what was happening, why it was important, how they should react to it. He understood immediately what this moment was, how this tragic accident could fuel the naysayers and those who wanted to avoid all the risks. Almost everything that Ronald Reagan did in his presidency falls into three themes or priorities: faith, family, and freedom. The same three themes that Dr. James Dobson and I have devoted our entire adult lives to. The same three issues that the James Dobson Family Institute is dedicated to. Only around 5 hours after this tragic event, Ronald Reagan addressed the nation, and he found exactly the right words. After telling the country this was a time of mourning and remembering, he praised the astronauts' individual courage. Listen to this with me.
19 years ago, almost to the day, we lost three astronauts in a terrible accident on the ground. But we've never lost an astronaut in flight. We've never had a tragedy like this. And perhaps we've forgotten the courage it took for the crew of the shuttle. But they, the Challenger 7, were aware of the dangers, but overcame them and did their jobs brilliantly. We mourn seven heroes: Michael Smith, Dick Scobie, Judith Resnick, Ronald McNair, Ellison Onizuka, Gregory Jarvis, and Krista McAuliffe. We mourn their loss as a nation together.
Then Reagan, understanding that America as a family had seen something and was experiencing something terrible, he addressed his remarks to the families of those astronauts, who of course now had a hole in their hearts that for them was everything. This was the universe. Listen to this.
The families of the seven, we cannot bear, as you do, the full impact of this tragedy. But we feel the loss, and we're thinking about you so very much. Your loved ones were daring and brave, and they had that special grace, that special spirit that says, give me a challenge, and I'll meet it with joy. They had a hunger to explore the universe and discover its truths. They wished to serve, and they did. They served all of us. We've grown used to wonders in this century. It's hard to dazzle us. But for 25 years, the United States space program has been doing just that. We've grown used to the idea of space, and perhaps we forget that we've only just begun. We're still pioneers. They, the members of the Challenger crew, were pioneers.
Reagan cared deeply about our school children, If you get a chance, sometimes listen to his farewell address, because he addresses in that speech why it was so important to teach our children to love our country. He knew America's children needed to be brave, and they needed to love our country, because there were dangers and challenges ahead. And if they were going to meet those challenges and dangers as previous generations had, they could not lose courage. And so the President of the United States talked for just a few minutes or a few seconds to those children. Listen.
And I want to say something to the school children of America who were watching the live coverage of the shuttle's takeoff. I know it's hard to understand, but painful things like this happen. It's all part of the process of exploration and discovery. It's all part of taking a chance and expanding man's horizons. The future doesn't belong to the faint-hearted. It belongs to the brave. The Challenger crew was pulling us into the future, and we'll continue to follow them.
After praising and encouraging the men and women who worked on the mission for NASA, Reagan reminded the entire nation that the Challenger astronauts were with our God, the same God that Reagan believed, as our founders did, that God was the author of our liberty. Listen to this closing.
The crew of the Space Shuttle Challenger honored us for the manner in which they lived their lives. We will never forget them, nor the last time we saw them this morning, as they prepared for their journey and waved goodbye and slipped the surly bonds of Earth to touch the face of God.
Wow. Touch the face of God. You know, 2024 is going to be a challenging year. There are wars and rumors of war. There's division and discord in our land. Fear fills too many hearts. But come what may, I think the incident of the tragic loss of the Challenger so many years ago reminds us that by loving God, loving America, and boldly standing for faith, family, and freedom, we can make it through whatever this year holds and have a real chance of making a rebirth of freedom in the United States. God bless you, my friends. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back with you next week on Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.